Hi, Matt McDonough. You know, there are times when you're out there looking for the most perfect podcast for you. And I'm here to let you know that you don't have to look anymore. There's a special podcast network out there called the Tangent Bound Podcast Network. They've got everything you could possibly ever look for in a podcast. Everything. So, if you're looking for something to fill your ear holes, or just something nice to listen to, head on over to tangentboundnetwork.com. Click on the channels link, and go ahead, listen to your heart's content. Here at Tangent Bound Network, we'll leave the mics on for you.
Hi, this is Erica Schultz.
And Claire Connolly.
And you're listening to Adrian Has Issues.
Hey gang, welcome to Adrian Has Issues. I'm Adrian. Way back, I recorded an episode entitled From Gatorade to Murder. In said episode, two very good friends of mine, Ashley Berge and Erica Ritter, joined me in a wacky discussion of hockey, concert mishaps, and Power Rangers actors who've dropped a body or two. Today's episode can be considered something of a sequel to that. Ashley makes her second appearance on a podcast, but if you've listened to previous episodes of my show, you know how hilariously random things can get. We originally planned to talk about a variety of topics within the NHL, but somehow, thanks largely to a steady diet of PBR and cherry-flavored spray candy, we ended up down a rabbit hole that led us to basically riffing on bands that have performed for the Honda Civic Tour. With that said, we get pretty geeky over music, especially the pop-punk emo scene of the early to mid-2000s, so you'll hear us talk about bands like Motion City Soundtrack, The Matches, Coheed and Cambria, and more. There's some really funny bits in this episode I really enjoyed, including my dressing down of the Christian punk scene, and I actually break up the song at one point. I don't get to randomly break out in song on this podcast as much as I did in the previous show, so I never really pass up an opportunity to make a total ass of myself if I can. Thanks again to Ashley for being a great guest and an even better friend. She's one of my favorite people, and she's been a long-time supporter of this podcast since, well, way back when we were still Agent and Atlas Have Issues. Before we head into the show, I just want to thank each and every one of you for continuing to support Agent Has Issues. You guys pretty much make the show a total blast to do every week, and just throwing it out there to you lovely people. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes and leave a rating and review. Those things may seem minor and inconsequential to some, but to podcasters, that helps so much as it helps the show reach potential new listeners. Word of mouth is still super important to getting shows noticed, so every little bit helps, so thank you so much. Now sit back and enjoy episode 48 of Adrian Has Issues, already in progress. How are you guys behind the Panthers?
The Panthers are doing the damn thing this season. It's very strange.
What happened? Were there trades involved? Because weren't they garbage last year?
They weren't garbage completely. They had a rough start last year, and this year they were pretty decent out of the gate and have been decent this entire time. I don't know. The Atlantic Division is weird.
God damn. I'm just looking at the standings now. It's like, okay, we got, obviously, at the top, we got the Panthers, then the Lightning, so go you.
Yay.
Okay, wow.
Sorry, that was enthusiastic.
Go blue teams, huh?
Yeah, you know me.
Well, all right, let's see. Well, I'll ignore that. Get to you down the list. Bruins, which, no one cares about the Bruins. The Tiny Ambulances, the Red Wings. Senators, who I forgot were even a team still. Yeah, I'm sorry. The bottom of this list, like, wow, your division's filled with a lot of teams that I almost forgot about.
Yep.
With the exception of, like, the Lightning and maybe, like, the Canadians, only because, you know, you need someone to root against.
Right? Well, and Montreal has turned into this really enjoyable dumpster fire to watch. At least for me, who's kind of hateful.
Kind of?
Okay, fine. I'm really fucking hateful. It's a whole thing.
I guess, like, why do you think we're friends? You know, this shouldn't be surprising to me at all.
No, since Carey Price has been broken, they've just been a mess. And I mean, I'm sure there are other things going into that as to, like, why they are terrible. But they started out really well and have just been kind of free-falling as of late.
Like, this division's kind of depressing. All right, let's hop over to the Metropolitan. All right, let's see. We got Capitals who are at the top. And I don't know. You know, isn't me or the Capitals just a boring team to watch?
In past seasons, I would agree with you. This season, for some odd reason, I've watched a few more games of theirs, and they've been kind of fun. Like, am I a Capitals fan? No, not by any stretch of the imagination, but
And, of course, the Rangers, which, ugh.
Pass.
I'm just going to completely pass. I don't even have anything to say that won't, like, get me, like, banned from podcasting altogether.
Right?
Islanders, you know what? They're doing all right. I'm not mad at them. I don't hate them, which... I think this is kind of what started. Every time we talk about the Islanders, you can't help but mention that fucking car. So, all right. You have to tell the story, I guess, from the beginning, because I feel like you set up the story far better than I do.
Okay.
The legend of the Center Ice SCV.
You had tweeted me a couple of days ago about this crazy dream that you had about the Prudential Center and how there was all this weird shit going on.
Right.
Like, there were signs for, like, Cleveland everywhere.
Oh, that's right. It was the dream. Okay, I do remember now. All right, it's starting to come back to me, like Celine Dion style here. So, I don't know what it was. I don't know if I just drank too much or if I was just sleep deprived, which is usually what happens, but I had this dream where the Prudential Center apparently... I don't know if they lost funding or they remodeled, but it was kind of like the poor man's hockey rink where instead of having overall like benches and like, you know, these three floors, it was like maybe two floors and all the seats were replaced with like hotel like conference room chairs.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't know what it was. And it was just very odd. And for some reason, all like the advertisements and signs, everything kept saying Cleveland or Ohio. And I was just like, oh, God. And then I started to freak out, Eugene, because I'm like, don't tell me I'm having some weird premonition that like the Devils are going to be moving to like Ohio and they're all of a sudden like they're going to get rid of the Blue Jackets and they're just going to become like, I don't know, the Columbus Devils or something. And that's actually what made the dream very funny, because as I'm freaking out, I do realize, like, much like at Barclays in Brooklyn, there's a fucking car parked. All right, okay, if anyone doesn't know, for some fucking reason, at Barclays in Brooklyn, I guess where the Islanders play now, there's a SUV that's that's parked on, yeah. What was this? I think it's Center Ice. I don't know what it is about this thing, but it's kind of become a running gag between Ashley and I, and I know there's been a few memes online about the car. So in this dream of mine where I'm in this weird New Jersey, Ohio hybrid arena, there's a car just sitting there, and I'm just like, huh. So then I ended up texting you like not too long afterwards, and it's like, okay, what we should do is think about other arenas or other, like, you know, home teams, and like if they had a car parked at Center Ice in their arenas, like what car would they be? And I started to think about it, and I felt really bad because, like, wow, there's so many terrible teams and so many terrible cars.
But it could be fun. I mean, you could paint them, I don't know, like the what the fuck concert tour was that? It was like the Honda Fit Tours, some shit where they would let a band like design a paint job or a car, and at the end of the tour, like, they'd give it away. Like, they could do that.
Is that like the Honda Civic Tour? Was that it?
Yes, the Honda Civic Tour. Thank you.
Which is so weird. It's like the Honda Civic. Like, they couldn't find another car to do that for.
Well, I mean, they didn't want to give anything out that was too expensive. Come on now.
Right, but I just like the Honda Civic Tour. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. This very, which, you know.
For years, like, the Honda Civic Tour was like cool, like pop punk bands. Towards the end, like, it got really weird, where it was, like, Fall Out Boy and Drake or some shit. I don't even know.
Hold on. I'm actually going to look this up now. All right. Let's see. So, Honda Civic Tour 2016. Okay. Let's go to the website. Let's see who's playing this year. Oh, wait. There's a history.
There you go.
Oh, God. One Direction, I think, is doing the most recent one.
Ass.
Pop, rock, punk, dance, 68 artists, 14 amazing years, always keeping it live. Okay, Honda Civic Tour started out as an annual summer concert in 2001 with headliner Blink-182. Yay!
Yeah, see?
Yeah, 2001 was like synonymous with Blink 182, so I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Exactly.
All right, so let's see. Here's some of the list of bands that have played the Honda Civic Tour over the years. Maroon 5? They're not bad. I'll give them that.
That dude can sing. They just have terrible songs.
Yeah, I think that's really what it comes down to. He's an amazing vocalist. It's just like, eh. Black Eyed Peas? I'll take or leave him.
I'm good.
Blink 182, Fall Out Boy, Linkin Park. I don't know. Who the hell is American Authors?
These introspective Brooklyn-based indie rockers met in Boston, Massachusetts while attending college.
Oh, yeah. Punk rock. See, okay, if you're going to name yourself American Authors, what they should be is like a band where they each take on a persona of like an American author. Like this one dude who like plays slap bass and he like dresses like Mark Twain.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
And they've got like this one, like the one chick, like she's the drummer. She's like this punk rock Judy Blume and just...
Why in my head, like, their shows start off, like, super, you know, pristine and together, and by the end, it's just, like, American Author Celebrity Deathmatch.
Okay, so it's like they're a band plus, like, what, like, performance art kind of thing?
Yeah, obviously.
All right, I can buy that. All right, let's see, we got Paramore. I've fallen off of them, but I dug them. My Chemical Romance. Really? When did that happen?
2011, apparently.
Wow. They were, I thought they broke up by 2011. I forget.
2013.
Group Love, whom I think I only like maybe two songs from them.
Yeah.
Ooh, Portugal the Man did Honda Civic Tour?
2014. That would make sense.
Panic at the Disco, because what else are they doing?
That was the Honda Civic Tour that I went to, because we only went to one. It was Panic at the Disco and Motion City Soundtrack with some band that's not on this list. Oh, The Hush Sound.
I'd probably go to that show, especially for Motion City Soundtrack.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Let's see. Incubus, 2002 and 2012. Good Charlotte, Newfound Glory, Dashboard Confessional. Oh, boy. Everclear. And I shouldn't laugh because I love Newfound Glory and they're still at it. But like Dashboard, I'm like... I'm sorry, Honda Civic Tours are usually, like, you know, party bands, and I'm like, I can't see Dashboard at Honda Civic Tour. I was like, okay, whoever wins this car is going to cry in it.
Three Ball Mighty? That's how you say that, right?
Is it? Hold on. Latin trio from Monterrey, Mexico combines Mexican cumbia with cutting-edge electronic music. The name Three Ball comes from the Spanish word tribal, which refers to the group of guaracha tribal music popular many... I gave up. I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound rude, but I just gave... There was just too much going on with that. Like, I'm sorry, but that whole description was, I don't care how you came up with the name. What do you play? Kelly Clarkson, Neon Trees. Ooh, Matt and Kim. I was actually just listening to them before I plugged in.
Oh, nice.
Mute Math, who is a band that seems to pop up a lot, but I keep forgetting they're a thing. Because every time I'm like listening to something, it's like, oh, who's this band? It turns out it's Mute Math.
That's a pretty good description of Mute Math, at least in my world.
I never know what they play, but yet every time like one of the songs are on, I'm like, oh, is that them? Oh, I'll have to check them out. And I never do.
Eh, it's pretty middle of the road.
Okay, so it's kind of like, was it like department store rock kind of thing?
Yeah. They're one of those bands that like, I feel like... They work really well on, like, mix CDs or playlists, but, like, to listen to a whole album of that would make me want to put a bullet in my brain.
Lately, I've become a huge fan of, like, the playlist band, because I'm like, you know what, not everything needs to be listened to all in one shot.
Right.
Manchester Orchestra, who are amazing live. I didn't think I'd enjoy them as much as I did live.
They're one that I've never seen live and would really enjoy it.
You really would. One of my best friends, like, she's really huge into them, so we went to go see them in New York, and, I mean, I knew I'd enjoy myself, but yet, like, they were just really intense, and, like, going back and listening to the recordings definitely kind of lost something.
That's one of those things that killed me moving from St. Louis down here. I miss out on so many good shows, it seems like. Because, I mean, you have to cross to the center of the country. You don't have to go to Florida.
Yeah, but you guys get to the fest, though. I mean, out in, I think, I'm not sure, I think it's Gainesville? I'm not sure if you're anywhere near there.
That's a couple hours from me.
Okay.
I mean, I would do it if it was worth it.
I don't know. I personally think it's worth it, but granted, you're closer than I am. I would have to, like, fly out there. Tegan and Sarah, whom I do love. I don't know. Echo Smith?
They're not bad.
Who, Tegan and Sarah?
No. I mean, I love Tegan and Sarah, but Echo Smith. Think Paramore but happier and a little bit more emo, question mark?
Hmm.
She's got a good voice. Just some of these songs, I'm like, I feel like Christina Aguilera wrote this.
All right, plus 44, which, you know, just kind of like Blink minus Tom, which is always a good thing.
I saw plus 44. The matches opened for them, which was mainly the reason we went. It wasn't a very good show, which was very disappointing.
Really?
Yeah, we were kind of bored.
Was it just low energy? They were off key? Like, what was the deal?
They seemed like they didn't really want to be there. Like, they were kind of over it. And I think it was towards the end of the tour, which makes sense.
Yeah, but I hate it when that happens. And I get it.
Yeah, totally.
Because, you know, you're a band, you're touring for a while. And I'd imagine there's this point where, you know, you start to get a little sluggish. But the only problem is, once you start showing signs of wear, the crowd will never forgive people for that.
Exactly.
Cobra Starship. That's a band I haven't thought of in about 10 years.
This was 2007. Yeah, that sounds about right. I was obsessed with their second album, which Patrick Stump produced, and it's embarrassingly catchy. But I haven't listened to much of their stuff since then.
Wow, Phantom Planet. That had to have been like early 2000s, like 2002. Yep. Wait, they played 2002, 2005, and 2008.
They put out a new album around 2008, I believe, which wasn't bad. They're one of those bands that continues to put out music, despite the fact that this sounds mean, but despite the fact that no one cares. And some of it's not awful.
I only know, like, that one album that California was on because, I mean... Because
everyone knows that album.
Yeah. For such an indie snob, I do listen to some aggressively popular music, and I hate it sometimes. PJ Morton. Oh, one of the... Oh, there's more than one keyboard player, Maroon 5?
That seems excessive.
You may know PJ as... They're kind of like the Slipknot of pop now. There's just a bunch of guys, and you're not even sure if their instruments are plugged in. Like, it's just like a bunch of guys, you know, one of them's playing guitar, one's on drums, even though it's a beat track. One guy's like on a rotating keyboard that's on fire for some reason. Oh, boy. It's like, you may know PJ as one of the keyboard players in the pop rock band Maroon 5, but he is currently signed as a solo artist to a major label and working to make a name of his own.
Cool story, bro.
Man. The Format. Wait, who's The Format?
Oh, he's still my heart. I love The Format.
Which one's The Format?
That's Nate Roos's first band.
Really?
First band, but yeah, super, super good. Oh my gosh.
Then wait, what's the one I'm thinking of that was signed to Victory? Oh, that's The Forecast. That's why I don't know who that is. Okay.
Different things.
Hot Rod Circuit, whom I love. But Andy Jackson, I didn't realize, like, follows, like, his wife, I think it's his wife, like, follows my girlfriend on Instagram, like, they chat all the time. And she's like, oh, yeah, so, so-and-so from, from Instagram, like, her husband's in the band, maybe you heard him, Hot Rod Circuit? Like, wait, you know people from Hot Rod Circuit? And I'm just like, wait, how do you not know this is a thing for me?
Can we be friends, please?
Right? He has a really cool podcast of his own. I forget the name of it. It's pretty amusing. Like, lately I've been stumbling across a lot of podcasts started by like pop punk band members. Andy Jackson has one. Matt Pryor, you know, from Get Up Kids has one.
I would listen to the hell out of that.
Oh shit, what is it called? I think it's actually like a reference to a Get Up Kids song, which of course is totally classic Pryor. MXPX, whom I still have a soft spot for them. I can't help it.
They toured with Gym Class Heroes, and that was how I saw them. It was a very strange crowd.
What do you mean?
It was like 2007, 2008-ish, and you could definitely tell who was there for what band. It was just a very weird, surreal sort of scene.
It's just very odd because I know MXPX, and I get it because I guess Mike Herrera's kind of Christian, but I guess over the years, like, depending on who's talking about them, I've never considered them to be a Christian punk band. It's not like they're like Reliant K, but
oh god,
shut up, I actually still like a lot of songs from Reliant K. Like, I kid you not, like, I still know all the words. Like, what was that one song, like the Chapstick and Things Like Chemistry, whatever that one was.
Reliant K played a show in St. Louis, and a band that's from St. Louis who's very popular there, Ludo, opened for them. And I love the hell out of Ludo, and pretty much every time I've had the chance to see them, we go. So we went and paid too much money because of Reliant K to see Ludo play, and then we left. I made like half a Reliant K song, and I'm like, I can't do this, you guys. We gotta go.
No, I'm sorry. If you don't mind me asking, do you remember how much was too much money?
Back then it was like $35-$40.
What? For Reliant K?
Yeah.
I know they were kind of a thing for a little bit of a time, but how were they ever able to command that high a price point?
They played it at one of the nicer-ish clubs in St. Louis.
Still, it's Reliant K.
I don't know. I mean,
wow.
They charged it, and I, like an idiot, paid it, and I wasn't the only one, because it was pretty full in there.
But I can't complain. Gin Blossoms is playing down the road for me, like, on the 12th, and I balked at the fact that, like, tickets were, like, 27, and that was, like, before fees, and I'm like, oh, I'm not spending all that, and I'm like, wow.
I've sort of become the opposite with age, where I'm like, it used to be that, you know, $25 for a concert ticket was too much money, but, I mean, I paid, I think, like, $70 to see Radiohead last time I saw Radiohead, and, like, didn't bat an eye about it, because it's Radiohead.
I can't be mad at Radiohead. I did see them live, I think that was at the Prudential, and that was a great show. I'm not gonna, but, you know, with them, it's an experience, though.
Yeah.
Motion City Soundtrack, did the new album come out yet?
Yes. It is adequate.
Oh, that's a shame, because I was so disappointed with Go.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of Go. This album is better than Go, but it's still not my favorite.
Like, I don't know. Like, does he need to start drinking again? And I hate to say that, but, like, what's going on? Like, okay, let's go back. My favorite album has to be, of course, Commit This to Memory.
Right.
Oh, so damn good. But even If It Kills Me was, like, okay, maybe not as good, but it's still a fun album. Then what was the one that came after that?
My Dinosaur Life.
Oh, that one was fantastic.
Yes. See, I'm one of like five weirdos who, even If It Kills Me, is my favorite. I'm not sure why. I can't explain it to you. It just is. I love that album so much.
Well, that makes sense, though, because I always love when bands get really depressing and confessional. So I was all about Commit This to Memory. I'm like, wait a minute. Stop being fun again. Stop using all these keyboards. Stop using all these pop melodies. Be sad again, damn it. And then I got my wish, because then Go came out, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
See, I think even If It Kills Me, the best part about that album is that if you listen to the lyrics are still depressing as fuck. Like, the music and the melodies and shit are so poppy. So you get a little bit of both. That juxtaposition is nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to go back to Go, and maybe one of these days I'll get older and I'll be like 45, and you're like, well, every time I listen to Go, I don't know why I'm so grizzled at 45. Maybe I just smoke too much. I don't know, but it's like, all right, and then it'll be like the soundtrack to my life. I'll be like, ah, wayward youth.
I feel like with Go, and I feel even with this new album, it's not so much that it's bad; it's that I don't have my shit together enough for it yet.
Wait, what is that supposed to mean? Like, wait, are we supposed to have, like, homes, like, children at this point to enjoy their music now?
I don't know. It just seems like he is, like, happy and stable and with it, and I am still all flaily and depressing and shit. I don't think I have my life together enough for it. I think he's beating me.
I didn't realize you were, like, having this battle with, like, the dude from Motion City Soundtrack over whose life was more together.
Yeah, I was winning for a really long time, and then all of a sudden, he came out of nowhere.
You're like, basically, by like 2005, you know, 2007, you're just kind of like, all right, he's drinking, he's recovering, he'll slip any moment. I'm good. Last stretch. It's like, oh, crap, he's clean, and he's having the best time of his life. Oh, fuck. That's so terrible. Oh shit. But I don't know, I have this thing with bands like that where, you know, when especially when their early material is very much about the fact that their lives aren't together, and then when they do, and you try not to, but then it's like, I don't know, is it me or does the music always seem to suffer for it?
I mean, you're not wrong. That's one of those things that like you feel bad that they're doing well because you want good music, but at the same time, like, you don't want them to, like, Elliot Smith themselves.
Wow, I mean, that's kind of the extreme. Well, first off, how would you even record that? Like, well, I got murdered yesterday. Like, how are you recording a song if you're dead? I think about even like, let's say, like the most recent Coheed and Cambria album, which, I mean, I know still some stuff kind of had went on, but yet for the most part, you know, Claudio Sanchez is doing pretty well. You know, right. Obviously he's got a kid now, but yet the music is still kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not necessarily like, you know, the most raucous, you know, face ripping metal album that No World for Tomorrow was, but yet, I don't know. It's just this thing like, okay, your life's together, but does your music have to be boring? This is probably like the worst I've sounded on a podcast. Like, I just, like, I hate it when bands are happy.
I think that there's a balance. I feel like there are some people that can pull that off, like happiness, having their shit together, but still being able to produce music that isn't the happiest, most joyous thing in the world. I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example and coming up short.
Yeah, I know there's tons of them, but for some reason I can't come up with them. All right, let's see. Head Automatica, I'm skipping because, well, ugh. I love Glassdrop, but I can't with Head Automatica.
I'm right there with you. We're cool.
Hush Sound, I don't even know who the hell they are. Hoobastank, which, not going to lie, I was a big Hoobastank fan when that first album came out.
That was it with them. Like, I did the first album. I liked it a lot. And after that, I'm like, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah, and I think at the time, what came out? Oh, it was Incubus, was it Morning View?
Yes.
And especially after Make Yourself, I'm like, this next album is going to be, like, crazy. It's going to be even more raw, and, you know, then it's like, this is all kind of boring to me. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, Hoobastank's good, and the guy kind of sounds like the dude from Incubus, so I would just listen to that album assuming that was going to be, like, the next Incubus.
And then, like, The Reason came out, and I'm like, I hate this song.
What's the station by a Z100? It's like the top 40 station. Uh-huh. Every time the do-do-do-do-do, every time those guitar notes come, I'm like, frick the song, frick the song. Not a perfect person. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm actually going to sing this song and get all like teary-eyed. Like, come on, children, sing it with me. The Donnas, whom I miss so much.
Are they not a thing anymore?
I think they're together, but their drummer, Tori, she had really bad tendonitis and like she can't play the drums anymore. Oof. And she was my favorite part of that group, other than their lead singer. Sum 41, who I guess I could start liking again now that Dave is back. Less Than Jake, Stretch Armstrong, Say Anything, Alkaline Trio, The Ataris. Holy shit, The Ataris.
Ryan, a mutual friend of ours, was obsessed with The Ataris and has seen them a zillion and one times. And I guess The Ataris aren't really The Ataris anymore. They've, like, basically phased out all of the band members except for that lead singer guy whose name I can't remember.
Oh, are they the ones that had to fight, like, on stage?
Yeah, like, I guess the main guy is kind of, like, a shell of his former self. Like, he tours, like, shitty, like, bar scene stuff, and it's just kind of depressing.
I just remember seeing a video where, like, they're playing, and was that them where, I don't know if the drummer was off, but, like, he throws his guitar at the drummer? Was that them, or am I thinking of somebody else?
That could be them. That sounds like it might be right.
Hold on. I know we were supposed to talk hockey, but now I'm just really into this whole guitar throwing thing. Who the fuck is Rotzi Crane? Oh, and Paul Wall performed the Highland Civic Tour, if you're...
Let me see your grill.
That giggle was the perfect response to the name Paul Wall ever. That's like... Hold on. Damn it, Ford. Let's see. Ataris... Here we go. Oh, Guitar Attack's drummer.
That was them?
I thought I made that up. I honestly did. Oh, let's see. TMZ, The Ataris' ex-drummer. I'm not a drunk, but I did suck. Holy shit.
I mean, I can appreciate the self-awareness there. That's fair.
Yeah, but how bad do you have to suck to get a guitar thrown at you? The Ataris' ex-drummer, Rob Felicetti, who got attacked, all caps, on stage by his lead singer last weekend, is flatly denying he has a drinking problem, telling TMZ the singer's drum-smashing outburst was completely unjustified. No surprise, Rob says he's officially quitting the band after singer Chris Rowe, okay, that's his name, Chris Rowe, his crazy guitar-throwing, drum-kicking meltdown, which is caught on tape, telling Chris... His actions were pretty uncalled for, inexcusable, immature, and an embarrassment to both bands and fans alike. Ooh, scathing. Felicetti admits he was having an off night, but calls Rose outburst tantamount to that of an 11-year-old unable to obtain tickets to a One Direction concert.
That's amazing.
Damn, you gotta give it up for Oscar Wilde wordplay like this, man. This is gold. He also says Rose's video apology to fans, in which he accuses Felicetti of over-boozing, is all lies. Belichetti tells us no one in the band, including himself, had a drinking problem, and it was never discussed until Chris tried making the old rock and roll excuse for throwing a drum set at another human being, namely me. He adds, never have I felt more violated or betrayed by someone I once called a friend. Damn. First it was funny, now it's kind of fucked up. I liked it better when I was just making fun of the Honda Civic Tour, and there's more bands in here who I don't even want to get into. But how do you, the Ataris?
The Ataris. To be fair, it's got to be somewhat disheartening to have, like, your main, like, claim to fame be this, like, shitty Bryan Adams cover or whatever.
First off, it's Don Henley.
Whatever. Sorry.
No, it is a shitty cover, though. I'm sorry. I'm still cracking up with the fact that they felt the need to replace Deadhead sticker with Black Flag. And I'm like, I don't think anyone would ever have a Black Flag sticker on their car.
But Adrian, that makes it cool. That makes it cool and with it, and it speaks to the young people. Come on.
Yeah, but I can't tell you how many kids in my class, when they sing a song, they would honestly stop and ask, who's Black Flag?
Well, I don't have an answer for you.
I don't know. At some point, I feel like Henry Rollins was kind of like, you got it all wrong, Chris.
I wonder if he knows. Like,
do you think he doesn't know?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he knows. I'm sure someone knows, because, like, they're probably getting some sort of royalty for it. But I just wonder if he knows, like, if you asked him what his reaction would be. I feel like that would be very interesting.
I don't know. I feel like if I ever met Henry Rollins, like, there's, like, a list of questions that I want to ask him, and there's a list I don't want to ask him. Oh, man. So I guess we should probably talk some more hockey. I completely derailed the show with, like, bad Honda Civic discussions.
No, that's perfectly fine. This was a fun trip down memory lane.
I was going to say, there's more bands on his list, but I don't know if you want to keep going.
I looked at the end of the list. I don't know who most of these people are.
Well, okay, there's Hot Water Music, there's Thrice, I know. Wow, American Hi-Fi?
Yeah, that one album with Flavor of the Week on it, I liked that a lot.
That's still dope.
The Pussycat Dolls.
Who the hell is Tony Luca?
Yeah, see, this is where I was like, I don't recognize any of these.
Okay, The Movie Life, I know. No Motive. I remember No Motive. I think they were on Vagrant.
Fair enough.
Which, as I found out on another podcast, Janet Jackson's on Vagrant.
Say what?
Yeah. I don't know if she is still, but at least up until like a year ago, Janet Jackson was on Vagrant Records.
That's hilarious.
Who the hell is Flipside? Oh, here we go. Mixing together rap, rock, political awareness, and introspection, this Bay Area group utilized their diverse backgrounds to create ambitious revolutionary music.
I hate when bands spell shit wrong like that. Just,
yeah.
Just use an I. Flipside. You know what? That's not necessary.
I feel, though, like that's a band, or like, all right, our first song is actually the formula how to cure cancer, but then like they'd start and everybody would just leave. Like, they would just let millions of people die just to not have to hear the music anymore. It's like, but wait, guys, we have this great formula on how we can all, you know, solve the world crisis, like, you know, world peace and hunger, like all that stuff. Guys, don't leave. Oh, crap.
Nope.
It's like, we're not doing it. Your music sucks and your band's name is worse.
I actually am kind of curious, because there's a lot of bands from the Bay Area that are really good.
And you think they're just one of the ones that slipped through the cracks?
I don't know. Maybe.
See, now I can't even think what bands are from the Bay Area.
The Matches.
They're from the Bay Area?
The Matches, yeah.
The show that you're going to, that's what, was it Decomposer?
Yes. So last year was the 10th anniversary of their first album. And they did like 4 tour dates for that one. They were in the Bay Area and they did a couple in New York. I think one in Chicago. And it was just one of those where, like, I live in Florida. In order to do it, it would be a lot of work. So I let it go and I'm like, well, hopefully they'll do something for Decomposer, because Decomposer has always been my favorite. And then they did. And I'm like, well, I need to make this happen. So, yep. Road trip into Chicago.
Oh, shoot. Then what's the album I know of then? Because it's not Decomposer.
They've got 4. They've got Yvonne Dahl, Killed the Locals, which is the first one, Decomposer, and then Abandoned Hope, which came out in 2008, I believe. And then they've got a 4th album, which is untitled.
Yvonne Dahl, Killed the Locals, that's them also?
Yes, that's the first one.
Okay, I remember now. And of course, how 2004 is this memory? Audio Blood was on the soundtrack to, what the hell is the name of that game? Burnout 3, I think it was. That was the one that had like all like the scene bands on it.
Yeah. I found The Matches through my friend for her 17th birthday got Sirius Radio put in her car, and we were listening to like all the little pop punk channels, and they were on there, and I'm like, this song is amazing. It was Dog Ear Page. I'm like, the song is amazing. I need more of this immediately. So we like drove to Best Buy and bought the album. It was so incredibly high school.
Oh shit, I don't know nearly as many Matches songs that I thought I did. Uh-oh.
It's all right. We can still be friends.
It's, you know what it was? I know Audio Blood, and like I knew a few other ones off that first album, because again, 2004 was a good year that way. But yes. A lot of songs I thought was there, it turns out it was actually Maxine.
Yeah.
Oops. Because I was going to say, it's like, oh man, that one song, Strangers, and like, Take the Weight Off. I'm like, wait, those are Maxine's songs. Oh no. Like, I don't know anything about this band. Ashley, don't leave me. Wow. So what else do I not know?
I don't know if I can help you with that. That's kind of a vague question.
Because all these years, I thought I know all these Matches songs, and only to find out, like, I don't recognize a lot of these songs in the track list, like a Decomposer. And I clearly, it was a popular album because, I mean, they're doing a whole tour based on it.
It's a really good album. You should check it out. They basically had a bunch of different producers come in and produce a song. Like, I think Mark from Blink-182 did one. One of the guys from 311 produced a song. So the album itself is kind of disjointed, but not in an obnoxious way, where everything kind of sounds really different because they've had all these different influences. It's a cool idea. I really like it.
What Katie said, why does that sound familiar? Do I know that song?
Probably.
If I played it like on the show, will I get sued?
I don't think so.
All right, because I think we had done this once before, but well, I know litigation likes to rear its ugly head when you're... Hold on, I'm going to pull this out, because for some reason I feel like I know what Katie said, which was also produced by Mark Hoppus. Okay, I don't recognize this, but I think I like this already. All right. Sorry, like, I figured if I play like a couple of seconds, no one can get after me.
There you go. You'll be fine.
How did I miss the Matches?
Which is why I was so excited when they started doing that like whole like chic 10-year anniversary thing that everybody else has been doing. But there are some bands where I'm like, this is not necessary.
So who would that be?
Reliant K.
Wait, are they doing... Please don't tell me they're not doing one for...
You were the one that told me that they were doing a 10th year anniversary thing.
Was I?
Yeah, this was a while ago, to be fair.
Ashley, I don't know if you noticed that, but I drink too much. I've killed my memory.
It happens to the best of us.
Or the worst of us. Yeah, that's right. I do remember they're doing it. Oh, no. Why are they doing that?
Because it's cool and they need money.
I know, but it was just, I remember when they came out, and I should have known they were a Christian band, because that's actually how I found out about them. Because we had like a local station, kind of like a PBS type thing, where they'd have like, I think it was a Friday or Saturday nights, because one didn't have friends. they used to always play like, and I didn't put two or two together, but they used to play Christian rock bands. And I downloaded a bunch of those songs from like that block of music. And then I'm like, wait a minute, there's something weird here.
I sense an overarching theme.
It's like, there's something here that they're not telling me. Like, they don't sound negative, but not overly positive. Until I went to download a bunch of songs, and there was one just, I think, had Jesus in the title. I was like, oh, they're a Christian band. Why didn't somebody tell me this? And then I think whatever album was after that, it's like immediately after they got popular, I was like, oh, wow, they really dropped that quick. guys, we're on the Billboard charts. Like, they quite literally threw all their crosses and Bibles out. Like, we ought to do this anymore.
We can be cool too.
Yeah, but then there were other bands that got almost got thrown into that, like Thrice, which I remember very vividly. Like, they were this close to end up being a Christian band, but that's only because, well, Dustin's one. And like, I mean, I get it, like, clearly there's a lot of spirituality like thrown into like their lyrics, but I don't think they were like necessarily like aggressively a Christian band.
No.
Oh, I remember why that night was so funny. The Thermals, what the hell was the name of the one song? Pillar of Salt from the Body of Blood and Machine.
Yeah.
That song got played on that same station. And whoever was the programmer was like, I don't think they knew what they were doing when they did that. Like, have you guys listened to this album?
They were just like, oh, Pillars of Salt. Oh, that's a Bible reference. Just throw it in there. It's cool.
I can, oh, I do remember, oh, even funnier, I remember somebody, I used to work at a music store for like maybe a year and a half, maybe, no, I'm sorry, it's like more like half a year. But shortly after all, like my best friends and like all of other managers left the store, I was one of like, I guess the few of that group that were still there. And that album had come out, because I think that was, I want to say fall of 2006, maybe 2007. I can't remember when that freaking album came out. But anyway, someone had bought it and like they thought like it was like a Christian album. I'm like, sir, like I told him, like, no, quite the opposite. This is very like anti, like, you know, conservatism, like, because of course it was like during like the height of the Bush years, and it was just, and it's like, oh, look, but there's like a Jesus is on the cover. I was like, yeah, but that's not, no, don't do it.
It's not the Jesus you think it is.
Right. The only way that would have been funnier if he picked up, what was the, oh shoot, what was the one album? Neon Bible by, what the fuck's the name of that band?
Aww.
The real pretentious one that nobody likes that everybody loves at the same time.
Arcade Fire.
Arcade Fire, yes, thank you.
There's an album that Arcade Fire does that I actually really like, but other than that, yeah. They're one of those bands that, like, hipsters say they enjoy, but it's like a bowl of Wheaties. It's good for you, but it's painful.
Today's episode, Audio Wheaties.
There's your episode title.
There's the episode title, Audio Wheaties. Oh, man. Well, Ash, it's been so great for you to come back on the show.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
I know, and I know we came on and you had sent me like this great email of all these awesome topics, and like we covered none of it.
Every time I've come on the show, that seems to happen, which is fine. I don't mind it at all. I just think it's funny.
Well, considering the last time we came on, we were talking a little bit of hockey, but then we started talking about Power Rangers who kill people.
Which, so I tend to like binge with podcasts. Like I'll let my, like the shows that I listen to, I let them kind of build up and listen to them all at once.
Okay.
And listening to yours all kind of built up at once, you reference that episode a lot.
Because it's so much fucking fun.
I know. And it made me super happy.
I don't know if you saw, which I know you had something you wanted to say before, but screw it. This is my show.
Fine.
The guests don't have say here. I'm stopping. That was such a fun episode. And again, I've kind of realized those seem to be like some of the most fun I have on the show is just kind of just getting into random shit.
Letting the show go off the rails.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? I'm like Amtrak. We never stay on track.
Oh. Now you're getting sued.
Now I'm getting sued. There it is. That's Reliant K didn't do it. Henry Rollins didn't do it. Playing the matches won't do it. But that will. You have anything to plug, or if you want to be to hit you up online, or some sweet hockey tweets and whatnot?
Well, if you want to talk to me about hockey, the best place to do it is Twitter. I am at iceberg74. Also, if you are into geeky craft things, look me up on Instagram, the Indigo Owl Accessories. We actually applied to have a booth at Tampa Bay Comic Con, which if we get in, I'm going to be over the moon excited.
Awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully, fingers crossed.
So wait, when is Tampa Comic Con?
August, I believe.
Very dope.
We are also on Etsy, Indigo Owl Accessories. And I think that's it. Those are the places with which you can find me online.
There you go. And no stalking. Well, I mean, you can stalk. I mean, if you're cool like me, you know how to stalk properly. But don't be weird about it.
No, I'm friendly enough-ish.
Well, no, you're friendly, but I'm not.
You're nice to me. That's all that matters.
Aw. Well, that'll do it for another Weird as Shit episode of Adrian Has Issues. We'll see you next issue. Hey guys, I'm Adrian.
And I'm His Issues.
Wait, what?
Hey guys, I'm Adrian.
And I'm... Wait, that's not right. Hey guys, I'm Adrian.
And I'm Eileen.
Tune in to the Adrian Has Issues podcast. Each week we chat with some great people.
Including me from time to time.
comic book creators, comedians,
musicians, and actors,
tax collectors, Zamboni drivers.
Point is, basically anyone willing to sit down for a geeky discussion or two on all things pop culture.
Visit AdrianHasIssues.com where you can download and stream every episode.
Especially the ones featuring yours truly.
Visit Adrian Has Issues on Facebook and Twitter.
And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Please leave a rating and review and tell me how amazing I am. Us.
Oh, McKenna, you're way cooler than I am anyway.
Aw, thanks, babe. Oh, and Adrian Has Issues is also a proud member of the Tangent Bound Podcast Network.
Awesome. Nice save, Brodor. Visit AdrianHasIssues.com.